Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And we're in the middle of Sanctification Week. Well, it's not a conference, but we're getting together and around communion of the Holy Spirit, hoping that these messages will help you in some way. If you missed any of those, go on to voiceofvision.org and you can hit daily blog and see the text as well as hear the audio. Or just if you want to hear the audio, go to the radio archives there. It'll have Vision Radio, and then you can find this right there. And you can email me with any questions you have, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. We're really not going to be covering everything about growing in grace, sanctification, becoming Christ-like, being discipled, walking by the Spirit, wearing the full armor of God. These sorts of things are all tied up together. But we're going to just take some ideas and think about through some scripture and the whole idea of conceptualizing what it is to become sanctified, in the sense of, what do I got to think about it? What do I renew my mind about to be able to do that? Goes along with our title today, I Want To. I Want To. Sometimes we really know that we don't want to. We want to, but we really don't want to. So we're trying to provide some motivation. We had a message called The Majesty of the Master, and as we see how beautiful He really is, we want to climb further, and we see how bad the sin is, and we want to get rid of it. And the Lord knows those that are His, and they are required to depart from iniquity. We covered that yesterday with stress-free sinning, with a question mark there. And most people don't know that there's promise for the life that now is and for the life that's to come, that godliness has practical aspects right now and assurance of salvation and also rewards in heaven. Now, sometimes we can have the motivation in our minds, but we still don't have the want to in our heart. And so there's all kinds of conferences and conventions and ideas about how to practically get yourself sanctified, to grow in grace, to make yourself want to. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Most believers, especially those that have been Christian for more than a couple of years, will certainly identify with the ongoing struggle for sanctification. Sometimes it seems like just as you get a little further along, then you fall right back. And again, we've said this before and we'll say it again, the more light you have, the more dust you see. Sometimes you really are making incredible progress and God's really bringing you along and you're cooperating with that and you really are growing in grace, but you realize God's even further away than you thought, in a sense, because you see how holy He really is and how bad your sin really is. And we've described it this way, that you see in the pendulum, one side swinging to the left, let's say, and it says, you know, you are this horrible sinner. And then the other way, you, what a great Savior. And the more you see your sin, the greater you see His forgiveness. When you can see the heights of His holiness compared to the depths of your depravity, you'll see the measure of His love to you. And the truth is, we do get along further and we do sin less. We're not sinless, but we sin less. And the truth also is that as we do that, we see that these sins were bigger than we thought they were. Not in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes. Those things, those little white lies, that little stealing you did, that little cheating on your taxes, that little glance you gave at someone that wasn't your wife. Ouch, huh? Those are a big deal to God. They cost Jesus Christ His life. Each little one was a part of that nail, was a part of that whip, was a part of that blood, was a part of that wrath of God on sin. And as we understand that, we see our sin is so much worse than we used to. We see God is so much more holy than we knew Him from before. And so while we're actually making huge progress, the gap is actually wider, which shows we see our sin as bigger, we see our Savior as bigger, and we see the gap as wider, knowing how great a Savior. Hallelujah! What a Savior. Why neglect such a great salvation? So we get motivated. And you could have just heard that and got motivated. You know, I'm going to go out there and do it for Jesus. But it's a struggle, folks. It doesn't just happen overnight. And all the secrets and keys and steps and principles, all the seminars, conferences, churches, books, and preaching we've heard never seems to quite get us over the hump. Or perhaps it seems to for a while, but you know, then we fall back down and we get frustrated and we wonder what to do next until the new thing comes along and we go right back on the boom and bust cycle. Is that you? Boy, everybody, if we had the phones lit up right now, I mean, you know, on, they'd be lit up, I'm sure. We can all identify. That resonates with us. Now, how can we articulate it? Let me try. We could start out with what we might call riotism. R-I-O-T, you know, a riot. Riotism, where the operative phrase describing our pursuit of sanctification would be, don't go, forget God. It's not worth it, you're forgiven, right? Now, however, when we find that our distaste for life and our desire for God increases, we want our want to increase more. Not knowing what to do next, we start by doing what? Trying harder. So what happens? We move from riotism to pietism, P-I-E-T-I-S-M, pietism. You know, we're trying to be pious. We strive to serve King Jesus with all the discipline we can muster. And the operative phrase would be, go and get God. You know, riotism, don't go, forget God. Then go and get God. You know, put him in every box in your life, and you can put him in every box in your life. You could be tithing and, well, I don't even want to open that can of worms, but you know, giving all you're supposed to give, doing all you're supposed to do, loving all you're supposed to love at church every time the doors are open and you do mopping the place when it's over, but God still not have your heart. See, eventually we realize that all our meager efforts at self-sanctification are just that. They're meager. We meet someone who introduces us to the concept of absolute surrender or the promise of a deeper life or some sort of thing. Of course, people before that say, well, it's just a demon that's got you, you know, and they try to get you through some checklist and talk it out of you instead of renewing your mind. That's what they call it, but oh boy, another can of worms there. But people say, you know, you just need to surrender and there's a deeper life, and then you've gone from riotism to pietism to quietism, Q-U-I-E-T-I-S-M. Again, riotism, don't go, forget God. Pietism, go and get God. Into quietism, the operative phrase being, oh, and you've heard this one, let go and let God. Oh boy, if you don't have the oars down in your sanctification, you are going to be in trouble. The great Puritan John Owen said, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. And I've told you many times that each sin that you do destroys a little bit of your mind because it changes the way you think about sin in the first place. You think it's not such a big deal. But now finally, hopefully, we mature to the truth about sanctification with its operative phrase being, don't let go of God. It's the fear of the Lord, a reverential awe, but yes, a fear. Like you're climbing that mountain on the back of that Sherpa and all that, and you think he knows what he's doing, but I don't, I better hold on. Oh boy. We see him as more beautiful than anything else, and we foster and feed this into our minds, and it sinks down into our hearts. We cover this with the majesty of the Master, and we're going to cover it in future days with messages called like the power to pain and all of that. But we see sin as big as it is, and God is getting bigger, and we want off of one and onto the other, and we get it into our minds that he's more beautiful and he's worth it, and it sinks down into our hearts and it comes out of our mouths, and that's increasing what we want to be all about. And yes, in a sense, it becomes less and less a fight to get there and only a fight to keep other things at bay until we see them as less also. And when they arrive on the scene, they are more easily dismissed. I hope it's been that way in your life, that certain things that had power over you don't have that same power over you. At first, you try to get rid of them by just avoiding them and changing your life process a little bit, and that's good as far as it goes. But that suppressionism can only go so far. And then you try to surrender and just let others sort of lead your life and do this meeting and that meeting and pray this prayer and do that step and all that. And that can go only so far. But when we progress and develop into maturity, we drop some of those flawed means. It's okay to use flawed means until we get the picture and enter into the resting of the gospel. But eventually, we see Jesus as more beautiful and these things as less. And we go for what we want, which is more of God. And it's not just saying it anymore, but really meaning it. About getting the want to. We start out when we're serious with a pattern discipline and a measured devotion, which often leads again to a boom and bust spirituality. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, look at the process here. Look where we're going. Next, we try to absolutely surrender. And that seems closer, but it's still not there yet. When we really get the picture of our sorry state and have glimpses of what true fellowship is like, then we want it. And I'm talking about, well, there's a theologian back in the 1800s, 1700s called Friedrich Schleiermacher, and he talked about the feeling of absolute dependence, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about cleansing of our will and conformity to God's. Not my will, but thine be done. When we finally realize that fellowship with God is you can't just make it happen. You got to get there, folks. You can't just decide. It's not just your decision to start. It's your determination to stay and fight through the pain that matters. When we finally realize that fellowship with God is incomparable with anything else, and it's worth getting heard over, it has a pronounced effect. Not so much that people don't see a sin. We probably might have had that licked already, but the outside part. But now, to our own hearts, we know that we just don't want that stuff anymore at all. It's rubbish. Our want to has changed. Let me give you a crude example. It's like having a toy that's deteriorating, a little car, let's say. You know, your child has that car, and they don't want to get rid of it. But then you get them a new car, you know, and it's running on batteries, and it makes noises, and it's all, wow. So what happens? They don't have a desire to have that old car anymore. Now, I know that's a weak example, because Christ is not just a better car. He's a totally different category than anything else. As we said, incomparable. Oh, that we might find this in our daily walk every day. To God be the glory as we become light bearers and not just people walking around with a dimmer switch on. Again, we go from don't go forget God to go and get God to let go and let God to don't let go of God because he's more beautiful than anything you're wanting to hold on to. It takes a while to get there, friends, but we can get there. We can really want to. If you act in accordance with God's want to and you don't let go of God, you know it says in Philippians 2:12 that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling because it's God who works in us both to will and do his good pleasure, verse 13. But if you don't let go of God, you'll find that he will increase your want to. Because as our text says, not only does God cause us to do his good pleasure, he gives us the will to do it. The question is, do you want to? I hope we can stir you up a little bit today. Hope you listened to the messages before and after in this series, Sanctification Week. If you have any questions, email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. But that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. We'll see you next time. Again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God.